This week on Art of the Air features Northwest Indiana artist Sabrina Schock, whose art practice explores a journey into creativity that flows freely and spontaneously. Next, painter and sculptor Summer Bozeman, whose Indiana University Northwest BFA capstone painting, Lucid Reflection, is part of IUN's permanent collection. Our spotlights on Canterbury Summer Theater's 58th season, featuring artistic directors Ray Scott Crawford and David Graham.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, WVLP 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is heard every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org. And is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Also heard on Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at WVLP.org. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Media. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. And we'd like to welcome back to Art on the Air Spotlight, again for their 2026 season, the Canterbury Theater. And of course, that's 807 Franklin Street in Michigan City. And then their season they have coming up. And we have, of course, the artistic directors, Ray Scott Crawford and David Graham. Welcome back to the Spotlight.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be
Thanks, Larry. It's great to be here.
So wonderful to see you.
Well, we want you to kick off what the season you have. You have quite a few things on there. Some of the shows I'm not familiar with, so go ahead and whichever one you want to start off.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask David to start. He's directing the first show, so he can talk about it a little bit, and then we'll move on from there.
The first show will be A Steady Rain. It's by Keith Huff. It is a, I guess you would call it a psychological thriller. It's about, just involves two Chicago cops who have been friends since childhood and who are now partners on the beat. And it has to do with a situation they run into, which is in that gray area between right and wrong, immoral and immoral, and how they deal with it and with each other. This play was originally started and premiered in Chicago at Chicago Dramatists. Shout out to those guys.
Yeah.
And then it went on and then ended up about 2010 and ended up on Broadway with a couple of unknowns, Daniel Craig, Hugh Jackman.
Complete unknowns.
So anyway, I'm very excited to get to do this. I think it's the first time it's probably been done in the region and it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of twists and turns.
David, are you keeping to the no intermission format with it?
You know what? I haven't decided yet. I'm going to make that decision a little bit closer to performance. Ray Scott, you want to pick up?
The next show that is our, I guess, the tribute to the nostalgic 250th anniversary of this country's founding with some music from the turn of the 20th century. So the patriotic music of George M. Cohen and Victor Herbert and all those people, and a look at such historical figures as Anna Held and Teddy Roosevelt and Emma Goldman and Charlie Chaplin, too. But it's a great musical review. It's called Tin Types. It was on Broadway back in 1980, and then there was a television movie made of the stage production. And we did it at Canterbury my second year there in 1983, and I played Teddy Roosevelt. So I thought, well, this is a good way to herald in the patriotic season with this flag raiser and comment on the ideas that made this country great, especially during the Industrial Revolution and the coming of all the immigrants to America, and this incredible music that we all love and still sing to this day. And that'll be our second show of the season, and it'll open, you know, shortly into June. Third show, Calvin Berger, a new musical. David, you want to talk about that?
Yes, Calvin Berger is it is a modern retelling of Cyrano de Bergerac placed in a high school. So all the characters, the same sort of relationships and misrepresentations and such. It's placed in a high school. It was developed in about 06. It's had several productions across the country. Nice, light, good pop Broadway music. I think right now they just recently had a production of it in Australia. So we're interested. First time to be doing this production, so we're really excited about it.
Yeah, our next show is one of those girl group 50s musicals that Michigan City seems to love, and we love doing them, and it's called The Taffetas. And it's coming back into view. The conceiver of that, Rick Lewis, has reformed it, put it back together. It sort of had fallen by the wayside, but he's given it new birth, and we're very excited to be one of the first companies to do it since that happened. And I think you'll recognize all of the songs if you're, you know, been alive in the past 40 years. You'll hear them, and you'll know, or 50 or 60 years, I guess I should say at this point. Our last show of the season is Red, White, and Tuna, and it is one of the great comedy tunas, starting with Greater Tuna, and then we had Tuna Christmas, Tuna in Vegas, and now this is Red, White, and Tuna, and what better way to wrap up our tribute to patriotism in America than with Red, White, and Tuna and those crazy wacko people from Tuna, Texas. I think all the characters are played by about four people, and there's probably 45 different characters in the show. I think it's going to be great, great fun. I guess I can tell you about tickets and season tickets and all that, Larry.
Go ahead.
Well, I'll go ahead and do that. Then you can get tickets. Best way to do it is through our website, which is CanterburyTheater.org. Correct me if I'm wrong, David. And I think that the season ticket rate is the best deal. And that is, if I'm not mistaken, well, I don't see it here.
It's $90.
$90. Thank you. Yeah. And of course, our single admission is $22. So you can see if you add up the five shows, you're getting a good break there. We also have student admissions and senior citizen and special rates for other groups as well, veterans and that sort of thing. But the best deal is the season ticket. So CanterburyTheater.org, or once the box office opens after about the 6th of June, you can check by the box office and scan a QR code if no one's there, but someone will be there pretty regularly off and on, and you'll see all the activity there. But we'd love to have you a season ticket people at Canterbury. And when you see this, we'll be up and running.
Well, we'd like to thank Ray Scott Crawford, David Graham, Artistic Directors, Canterbury Theater, 807 Franklin Street. You can find them at canterburytheater.org. Thanks so much for coming on Art of the Air Spotlight.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, always a fantastic season. Thank you.
Art on the Air Spotlight and the complete one-hour program on Sunday is brought to you by Emberforge Consulting, with end-to-end expertise in learning strategy, design, and implementation. Emberforge turns your organization's knowledge into impact. To learn more, visit emberforgeconsulting.com. And as a reminder, if you'd like to have your event on Art on the Air Spotlight or have a longer feature interview, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com. We are delighted to invite you to attend a screening of the new Ken Burns, Sarah Botstein, David Schmidt PBS documentary, The American Revolution, in celebration of the 250th anniversary of the United States. Lakeshore Public Media, along with Indiana Humanities, are hosting a viewing and discussion at Maryville's Lake County Library on June 23rd at 6 p.m. The moderated panel of local community leaders will celebrate the spirit of service, examining volunteerism, civic participation, and public leadership. To make your reservations, go to Lakeshore Public Media website and click on the event graphic. And Art on the Air encourages our loyal listeners to support this station by making a monthly sustaining pledge, so we may continue to bring you this great program.
This is Dawn Diamantopoulos. of Highland Arts Council, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media 89.1 FM and on WVLP 103.1 FM.
We would like to welcome Sabrina Shockey to Art on the Air. Sabrina has dedicated her life to learning the arts using intuition, self-expression, voice, play, and joy to help illuminate the path for others on how to find their artistic voice. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Sabrina. It's so nice meeting you.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, Sabrina, like we like to start with all of our guests, is their origin story. So our audience can find out all about you. I always like to say, tell us how Sabrina got from where you were to where you are now.
Oh, man. Okay. Let me think about this for a minute. I've always been into the arts, exploring. I think art is for everybody. Every kid starts art before they learn to walk, learn to run, you know, they start expressing, right? And playing and expressing with paint. I know I've always done that with my kids, and I did that as a kid. At some point, I want to say in elementary school, we had one of those programs you have in the 90s where all the kids like come together and we create the background and, you know, act out things. And we were learning about Charlotte's Web, and I was in charge of helping the banner, decorate the banner for the program. I remember being in charge of Charlotte and her web. Mm-hmm. And my teacher had complimented the way that I made the web. And I was probably in first grade at the time. My teacher had complimented the way that I made the web and said that, you know, I was really good at that. And I'm really good at the arts. And I was like, oh, okay. That felt nice. And this is good, right? Kind of like expressed throughout as I got in the upper grades up into like middle school. I think I really started taking it more seriously in middle school. Before that, it was probably just for fun. And then I started kind of trying different mediums. By high school, I've started taking a liking to acrylic paints. At that point, I started taking higher level classes at, you know, different places like South Shore Arts, even just on the side to kind of learn and get better with my medium. I took a few drawing classes as well. And mostly just kind of worked on my own, learning. I know at some point in high school, my teacher, I painted flowers a lot, which in retrospect, I paint flowers a good amount now as well. But my teacher had said something along the lines of in high school, I think this is your thing. Flowers are your thing. And I was like, no, I don't really know if I want to do flowers. Maybe I want to do, you know, dark and brooding art or something different, right? Like, I don't know if I want to stick in the niche of flowers. Yeah. And then I kind of started exploring.
Actually, the spider on your wall reminded me of Charlotte's Web when you first came on.
I love it. I forgot I have that. I'm so used to having that out there. I painted a mural for my son. He's really into Spider-Man. So I made a little Spider-Man wall for him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I mean, at some point I started exploring other stuff. Yeah, I've tried a lot of different mediums, a lot of different stuff. I always come back to acrylics, I think.
Any sculpture or clay work, ceramics? Did you do any of that?
Very minimal sculpture and clay. And then around, I want to say I was 22, 23, I started working at the Haunted House back when Amherst Asylum was a thing. I had a friend that worked there and they said, hey, you know, they're hiring for makeup artists. I think you'd be great trying this. So I gave it a try and I started learning, you know, face painting and makeup arts and all that stuff. And that was fun. And now that's kind of carried me as well. So I started kind of getting better at that. And then I want to say probably within the last year, I decided like it's just time. I don't know if that's exact. There's probably a lot more I'm missing in that chronology, but at some point in the last year, I decided it's time to just take this full time. And, you know, if I don't do it now, if not now, when? Right. Well, so.
Right. You have a lot of offerings. This is just I was in Valparaiso the other day and noticed pieces of Jade's windows. Did you do those flowers?
I did. Those are mine.
<It's> so happy. So I'm so glad you still have some flower work because it was really beautiful.
Yeah, I love it. Jade wanted something very bright and exciting just to kind of, I painted those when it was still gloomy and slightly snowy out. I want to say back in maybe March, I might have painted those. But yeah, she wanted something to just bring in the sunshine. We're over the winter. Like, so we went with flowers and I kind of added like some birds and some fun stuff to kind of bring it together.
Yeah, it's just pure happiness. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, I started about a year ago painting, a little over a year and a half ago, painting windows. And then this past Christmas season, it just picked up. And all the businesses were like, I did one or two businesses, posted on Facebook, and then that post just blew up. And I've just had steady work painting windows since, which is great.
Oh, it's exciting.
Well, Esther usually does this part, taking you back to your youth. And you did cover most of it, but growing in a household of, what, seven, you're the eldest of that. Was there any other art going on in your house with other siblings or parents or anything like that?
Oddly enough, no.
Okay.
I think it's just always been my outlet. I mean, I do have, I don't know, I have anxiety and depression diagnosed. And I think that's been always just an outlet for me to express. Like, that's the thing that I found. A lot of my siblings, they've taken to other things, not really the arts. I mean, video games to help express and things like that, more tech type related stuff. But yeah, I mean, my dad was a painter by trade, but not the same kind of painting that I'm doing. So, so I guess you could slightly say maybe it runs in the family, but he doesn't do anything artistic.
Just paint that wall there.
Literally.
It's a skill.
So tell us about your artwork. I mean, we're looking at yours, things you have it, but describe kind of where you're at. What would you describe? I mean, you work in acrylics, but what's your subjects and everything like that? And we've talked about flowers, but what other things do you do?
Yeah, I mean, anything that I find interesting, I like to explore. I've spent probably the last year just kind of really exploring different styles within acrylic. I do work with flowers a lot, nature, getting into more animals and birds and that kind of thing. I do have a couple subjects, like just weird spiritual type goddesses, kind of working with that kind of stuff a lot. You know, and then anything that's just kind of fun. I like to play with like parody and creating different types of parody type art with things that I find interesting. So, for example, on the back wall, I created like a weird little flower creation of the clowns from outer space, the killer clowns from outer space from back in the day. Just anything that's like just fun and weird. I like weird, quirky art. Exploring texture. I play with texture and a lot of weird things. Last year I created a painting with my son, actually created two paintings with my son, that we literally went to Dollar Tree, grabbed a bunch of stuff up at Dollar Tree, weird things that, you know, could create texture, like a basting brush, right? And like creating texture with that and then using his toys. So I took, you know, instead of taking the toys to Goodwill, I was like, let's use these. I don't just want to take them to Goodwill. I want to do something with this. So we took his toys, we took his cars and his balls and his bouncing stuff and just like put it in paint and threw it at the canvas to create the background. And it was fun. It becomes play, right? It's not just I'm creating something that has to look exactly perfect. It lets you kind of go in a flow state a little bit, which helps me a lot, especially just with anxiety.
So you talked about goddesses, and you have this year-long course, Sacred Goddesses. Now, is that all online, or is that a hybrid of online and in person? What does it involve? You know, take us through the year.
Yeah, so I actually rebranded that. I have to update that. So that's rebranded to the Becoming Circle. So this is essentially, ideally, it's year long. I create it ongoing. It will be ongoing until the end of time when I decide I don't want to do it anymore. But for now, it's every month. We meet once a month on the third Wednesday of the month. We meet for about 2.5 hours and we create art. Really, it's born out of a few years ago. I just had a really hard time and a really rough patch, like with my anxiety and depression. And I started using my art even more. I had gotten away from that practice for a while. I mean, becoming a mom, just being really busy working. I got out of the practice of just doing art to do art, painting to paint for fun, for no purpose. And so I was taking a class at the time. It's kind of spiritually geared class with like the goddesses and different archetypes and learning about different like world cultures and stuff. So while I'm taking this class, this moment happens for me and I'm having a rough patch. And I'm like, you know what? I want to use my learning and create goddess art. And just for fun, let me just, you know, play with it. You know, the goddess of the month might be Kali Ma, right? For example, there's one in the background. So the goddess of the month might be Kali Ma, right? And we're learning about that and creating and destroying things and kind of letting the pieces fall off that maybe don't work for you to build the pieces that do. So I started throwing paint at the canvas and having fun with it and just creating a vibe. And then I was like, you know what? I think other people can benefit from this, not just me. Like, I can't be the only one that likes goddesses and the spiritual, and on top of it, that wants to like just paint for fun, for the fun of it. So I created the class and now we meet. It's all different themes every month. One month we might work in acrylics. Another month we might work in watercolor. Last month we created these weird little like fun. So we took these kind of little, it's almost like a coaster. It's a chunk of a log that they cut into little coasters. And then we created art on the back of it by pressing leaves into it. Oh, and there it goes. And that one was fun. So it's different every month. It's all about play. It's not about creating something that has to be specific. It's about creating from the soul to just let out. We journal a lot. We talk about things as a group, kind of give everyone time to speak about what's, you know, going on in their lives, what they want to work through. So it's art therapy without being art therapy, because I'm not an art therapist, but in the realm of that district, in the best way that I can do that, I try to make that accessible to people.
Now, you also have other classes, like I see a homeschool art in person group class. And so how does that work?
I do. So right now I have some class options that we're taking a little break with the summer and we'll be bringing back again in the fall when everyone's not doing all their travel and everything. But generally, usually every Thursday at Pieces of Jade, I host children's art classes, homeschool art classes. So anyone in that realm, if you have the time and that time works for you, come on in. We learn different things every week. I mean, we've done everything. I like to give my kids choices. So I'll have a couple options. Okay, which of these sound better for you next week? And I'll plan the lesson based on that. So at one point, it's funny that you had mentioned that Esther, you had mentioned the Pieces of Jade windows. Yes. I painted the windows. And then about the next week when my kids came in, they said, oh, we love the windows. And I was like, yeah, I painted those. And they wanted to learn how to paint windows. And thankfully, I had somebody who had, they started remodeling their house. And they redid all their windows. They had all these extra windows that they didn't need. So I got them. They donated them to me. And I brought them to my kids. So my kids got to paint the windows and learn the process of doing that, which is just a fun, weird skill that I don't think most art classes are going to have. And they're pretty intimate. I mean, we have about groups of maybe 10 to 12 max. It's a smaller class size. So I really get to teach them skills that they're not going to get elsewhere. It's fun.
It does sound fun. And can you kind of describe what's in the Young Creators Crate? That's so intriguing.
The Young Creators Crate is something actually working on building. So essentially, it's going to go with art classes. So anybody that maybe, this is even bigger, I think, with COVID, when COVID happened and came through. But even now, there's a lot of like homeschool parents or just parents that want something additional for their kids, additional supports. Maybe they want them learning and not playing video games all day, right? Having more of that childhood. So that's going to be essentially it's a box of just here's the materials, here's the idea, here's how to get into it. Go create something now with it. So just really fun just to get people and kids back into doing what, you know, we did, I don't know, what I remember doing back in the 90s.
So have you gotten to the place now where you're creating art for fun again, or just, you know, inspiration, or are you still not quite in that space?
I would say it's about 50-50. Oh. It depends on the week you ask me. Some weeks, some weeks I'm really busy, and lately I've had a lot of businesses kind of working through. So they'll come, they'll come to me with not specific concepts, but the idea of a concept. You know, like I had just painted Ace Catering and Gino's Banquets in Hobart, for example. And they might come to me and say, okay, we want 4th of July. I still get to tap into that creative creating for fun. And then just, I'm just taking, here's the challenge, create 4th of July in any way that I see fit.
Right.
Right. So there's definitely like that creative vibe of I get to just create for fun. I'm having fun. I mean, I was always taught the, what's the rule? Find a job you love and you won't work a day in your life.
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to live by, is that I love what I do. Even on the hard days, I mean, hard for me is just the weather. But, you know, even on the hard days, I love being out there and I get to mostly create what I want for the most part. Beyond that,
you know, it's just personally when you're doing curriculums and programs, like it takes a lot of creative energy to do that. And sometimes
it does
a limited amount for like a private project sometimes.
Yeah, I will say it's definitely a time blocking for me, which probably is not my best skill of everything. Time blocking is like the one thing where I'm like, I want to be creative. But yeah, so it's just, this is the time, stick in the time, and this is my time for me. So I'm actually really wanting to get more of that for myself again, which I've started doing. Just creating paintings for fun, just playing with it. I've been experimenting lately with gold leaf, which has been fun. So just trying new things and making sure that I have that time built in every week to do that is really important.
Do you ever exhibit your work at all? And the second part of the question is, with all the things that you do, have you ever connected to some of the local art things like Chestern Art Center or something by offering classes through them?
You know, actually, that's a good idea. I did have an exhibit running at Smoketown Blues. Unfortunately, Smoketown Blues has officially closed, so I don't know if that's for today's purposes, but I did have something running. So I'm actually looking for my next place to have that. I've been actually considering having like a larger scale show. I think that's something on my list that I would really love to do. I did connect with Tank on the Tank Ride Home, who has connected me with the Lake County Public Library. So hopefully there will be something running there soon. But as of now, I'm actually open to my next big project that is just for me and just for fun and creating that.
Well, even being part of like a member show, for example, the end of the year, Chestern Arts Center, if you're a member, you can exhibit like a piece or so. Their current show is the Chestern Women's Club show, and they accept everything, and they're juried, and they actually give out prizes. My wife and I were just the jurors for that show. But anyway, I mean, you know, getting out there, and there's lots of exhibiting opportunities, like not necessarily for a whole show, solo show, but then that can also develop. So, you know, I'm just wondering if that's something you might do. And then the other part of that...
Like Larry belongs to the Area Artist Association, and there's art organizations that provide
exhibit
showing opportunities as well.
Yeah, currently they had something at LaPorte Convention Bureau that was, and again, it was all of us there in the show, and the pieces in. And the other part of that question is, have you ever thought about teaching classes through like the Chestern Art Center or one of the other organizations?
Honestly, that's a really good one. I mean, I would be open to it. I think I'm actually gearing towards now. I think I may start focusing more on what I want to create at this point and then work on the art classes. I think I've been feeling a pull. Like I taught a lot of classes this last year. I did teach homeschooling as well within the co-ops around here, the various co-ops, which it is a lot. I mean, it is like Esther said, it's a lot of planning. It's a lot of coordinating. While I get to teach what I want, it's less stringent than if I were teaching in a public school, for example. It's, you know, it's more fun, but it also does take a lot of time and a lot of energy with the planning process.
Sure.
And just coordinating the kids and everything in that space. So I've actually been feeling a pull where I feel like I actually want to take time to focus on what I want at this point. And I think I want to do a little bit larger scale. I do have a mural that I'm working on just for fun for me at the Hub. So I won a mural contest and I'm actually working on that today. but yeah, so just, you know, like creating larger scale stuff for myself in that sense.
What do you like to do for fun away from art?
Oh God, there's time away from art.
Well, maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, I like to travel. I love traveling. I'm a big Disney nerd, so anytime that we can get a chance to go travel to Florida and go visit Disney World, like, that's my thing. Amusement parks, just having fun with my kids, the beach, getting out, like, just being out in nature. I like to walk the trails a lot. It really helps. It's a refresh, and it's good for my art too. So find a lot of like animals and deer and stuff that just kind of like work well and translate into my pieces.
It's a great balancing.
Yeah, it is. And then you have a lot of great nature walks you can do here, the dunes and a lot of things around the area. Well, I guess one thing is, do you have anything coming up? And we talked about exhibits, but apparently that's not it. But anything you'd like to let our audience know that you have coming up? Or the second part of that thing is how people can reach you and social media and things like that.
Yeah, actually, I have some face painting events coming up. So I will be at the Popcorn Fest in Valpo. That is September 12th. So I will be at that. And that's going to be a long day. I will be with my friend face painting from the, well, we will be at Porter face painting on 4th of July at the Porter 4th of July Festival. So okay. I'll be at that as well. And that'll be coming up here soon. So that'll be great. Beyond that, I want to have a big event, but I don't know what it's going to be yet. Yeah. I was going to have that at Smoketown, and now I'm just kind of scrambling trying to figure out what I want to do with it.
That's true. Well, and again, how can people find you? Like, they want to connect your website, social media, and so they could get you. And maybe they even do a private face painting session or class session.
Yeah. If anyone wants to connect on social media, it's Sabrina Shockey Art, Shockey. And then feel free on my website. It's just SabrinaShockey.com. Or you can, on my personal number, you can reach me out at 219-776-0910.
Great. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your art journey and have done and what you may be doing. And again, SabrinaShockey.com. You can find her on the web. And you also, her picture that will be on our website will link you right to that. Sabrina, thank you so much for coming on Art on the Air and sharing everything about your art and art journey.
Awesome. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, everybody go take a look at her windows at Pieces of Jade and Valpo. They're really pretty.
Thank you.
Did you know that you can also listen to Art on the Air anytime as a podcast at Lakeshore Public Media's website, through Lakeshore's app, or from NPR? Plus, it's available on demand from your favorite podcast website, including TuneIn, Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, and many more. If you have a smart speaker like Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or Apple Siri, just tell it to play Art on the Air to hear the latest episode. Art on the Air. Our show relies on the support of not only our show underwriters, but also our listeners who make donations to this station. Your support of this station will ensure Art on the Air may continue bringing you the best of the arts and culture programming for Northwest Indiana and beyond. If Art on the Air is important to you, please consider supporting this station with a one-time contribution or even making an ongoing sustaining contribution. For information on how to make a contribution, go to this station's website or our show website, breck.com/AOTA. And thank you.
This is Whitney Reynolds of The Whitney Reynolds Show, and you are listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM and on WVLP 103.1 FM.
We would like to welcome Summer Bozeman to Art on the Air. Summer is a painter and sculptor. She graduated in 2024 with a BFA from Indiana University Northwest. She has been part of 5 group shows between Chicago and Indiana. Her painting, Lucid Reflection, is part of IUN's permanent collection. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Summer. It's so nice seeing you again.
It's nice seeing you again, too.
Of course, how we always like to start a show is to find out your origin story. What I like to say is how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us all about Summer.
So I grew up in Valpo until I was like 8 with my sibling, my younger sibling. And then my parents got divorced and we moved to Crown Point. So I guess to where I am now.
What was your
And so this would be good because you'd remember your schooling from Valpo to Crown Point. So did you have art classes or what did you gravitate toward? And was your household artistic or musical?
I would say I've always gravitated to the art classes. And I would say my household has been a little artistic, at least on my mom's side. She took ceramics for 4 years when she went to Indiana University. So she dabbled in ceramics and she's always been supportive about it. I remember whenever I was a kid, I used to be like drawing on the walls with like crayon and stuff. But
did you get to mess around with the clay with her too? Because that kind of is like, I could see that. You know, that kind of informs your work now, too, that whole sculptural aspect.
Sadly, I didn't get to because she graduated like a while before we were born. But I eventually got to start playing around with it like more in high school. And that's when I like found my love for ceramics and sculpting. But I've always been sort of like, I guess crafty. Like I always love like the random miscellaneous materials you can use to come up with your finished product.
So in high school, did they notice your talent in ceramics and was it encouraged?
Yeah, it definitely was. My ceramics teacher and my, I had a drawing teacher too. They were always very encouraging and it actually made me like find the love for my art again because there was just a point where I didn't like how my art was, like my skills just weren't there yet, and it, you know, I was just seeing everybody grow around me with their art and I felt like I was like stuck in one place. But like taking those art classes in high school helped a lot because my teachers were very sweet. And in ceramics, like I came across a lot of challenges because there was just a point where I wasn't working with clay for a while, but it was very encouraging though. And it made me fall in love with art again. So
were most of those students around you, were they mostly doing painting? Is that where you felt out of step or?
Yeah, I think so. And it was just like, I don't know. I didn't understand like proportions and perspective and everything. I have like a learning disability. So like, I'm kind of a little bit behind like mentally. So it's just taken me a while to like, really build up the skill set I've built up. So I felt very lost, but my high school teachers helped me like find myself again.
In Crown Point, did you do anything outside of art, like music or other allied type of arts?
I was in a splat club for a bit, which is like a, I think it's sort of like graphic imaging technology. You're able to like print shirts and like buttons and stuff.
Right.
But besides not really.
Well, tell us about your experience at IUN, getting your BFA there.
It's been an incredible experience. I started with biology at first, my first year, and I just didn't find the passion for it. But it was really whenever I started pursuing my BFA that I started to find a community here, like. It was kind of like in high school, like I felt so out of place at first until I came into the art classes and I met so many wonderful people here. I've had amazing opportunities and it really just made me find myself, my style. I think my favorite class was probably sculpture because I got to like experiment with different types of mixed media.
So what other media beside clay are you using now?
So now I'm using, I stick mostly to acrylic paint, and I also use watercolors. I'm trying to take up felting again, like needle felting again, because I really enjoyed that, so I started doing that. Trying to think of other materials. I usually like surface my my pieces with resin and stuff too, so I use resin and really just whatever materials at my disposal that I can. But I want to try out oil again.
Yeah,
it's just the texture that throws me off a little, but I want to get back into trying oil.
So when Summer and I met, it was at IUN, and she gave me a tour of the studios, which are fantastic because you're working alongside all sorts of different artists. Is that a good inspiration as well? Do you all kind of consult with each other?
It absolutely is. Yeah, we're always like keeping up with each other, seeing how each other's projects are, encouraging each other. Like even some of my friends, like some of them graduated this year too. So I've been able to like see them go through the same process I went through and like help them get through it. We really just have like a great community here, and it's just amazing to be able to see all the art around. It just puts me in a creative headspace.
Did you have one of those little individual studio spots that they have at the IUN in the art?
Yeah.
No, I'm very curious about your body of work. Did you start that in high school, or was this something that, did your style develop more at university?
I would say it developed more at IUN. I didn't start getting into, like, really getting into this style until, like, I finally started taking studio classes. So I would say that was, like, my sophomore year at IUN. I think it was, like, fundamental drawing or something like that. Oh, that's when I started.
So scientific kind of bent to your work. Did you like science classes, or you know, like it's a connection, I think. It's not a direct connection necessarily, but it reminds me of looking at anatomical books and surgeries and all of that, wound care. So can you describe your work?
Yeah, I guess I sort of carried on some of that science aspect to it too. I guess with my work, I was always really inspired by like horror, like in horror artists, like Junji Ito. Like I read a lot of his mangas, and I took a lot of inspiration from like the body horror aspect. But with those wound paintings, I've really been just trying to like, I guess to me they feel almost like studies. Like I'm studying the anatomy of like pictures of open wounds and like how the shadows look, or like I don't know how to translate it in 3D, but also like make it feel whimsical, bring sort of like that surreal element to it.
Right. It's like almost in the category, I guess it could be in the category of a gentle grotesque almost, you know. It's like, it doesn't quite, it's like, it's very shocking, but not in a horrific way, I guess.
Thank you.
Well, talk about the evolution of it, because they're much, you know, they evolve. So that's what I'm interested in. Where did you start with it? Like, what was the first piece?
So the first piece, so since my work like deals a lot with like, I use stuffed animals or like teddy bears to represent mental health. So I guess that's kind of, it's sort of how it started. After my first piece, I think I was in that fundamental class my sophomore year at IUN, and we had to do an assignment that was like interior of objects. And I really wanted to make one of like a teddy bear. It was like calling to me. So I looked up pictures of like teddy bears, like the interior, because I didn't want to cut any up. But I guess I was just intrigued by like the different textures that I could like come across with it. And I really just fell in love with drawing it. So it kept showing up in my art. Like every time I would draw something, I would think about, oh, like how can I draw it this way? So I guess my first works were mostly like, they're more like still lifes, like, but like, I don't know, stuffed animals like that are decapitated, I guess would represent like mental, like unwinding and stuff, you know? Just how you feel inside. And I slowly started to like incorporate more like otherworldliness into it, like world building. I think maybe it was my junior year or something, or a little later, I started personifying them in a way. Because I thought it would be more interesting if, like, you know, instead of still lifes, like, they're actually, like, performing. So I kind of let them, like, personify depression. Like, just, I don't know, you know.
I know, because it's so hidden, you know. Everybody will go, oh, you look just fine. They don't realize that all these, like, learning disabilities and mental illness, it doesn't always show.
No, it doesn't.
And after a brief pause, we'll return to our guest today, Summer Bozeman, on Art in the Air. Art in the Air listeners, do you have a suggestion for a possible guest on our show? Whether it's an artist, musician, author, gallery, theater, concert, or some other artistic endeavor that you are aware of, or a topic of interest to our listeners, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com. And we return to our guest today on Art on the Air, Summer Bozeman, on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM. Summer, I'd like to talk about your experience at IUN. I mean, I worked briefly in the building, kind of in a consulting path as that came online. But tell us about working there, getting your BFA, the process, and, you know, would you recommend that? So tell us about, like, starting there and doing the different types of things.
Oh, it's been wonderful. I would say that all the staff and faculty that have helped me get to this point, they're amazing. I work at IUN too, so I also have a good experience working here. I work in the gallery, and occasionally I do rental gigs for the theater. So sometimes I get to like help with like, follow spots and stuff. And I also work with the sculpture professor, Jeremiah Olsebus Spofford. But getting my BFA, it's like the process is difficult, like with the capstone and everything, but it feels so rewarding. Like, I would highly recommend it because I feel like we have wonderful studio spaces. The classes teach you a lot, and it's really mostly the community that you build here too, between the staff and the students. And I've had other opportunities here, like I've been able to work on a mural project, like Gary Mural project. It was last summer, I think. And
so was that like in relation to like the Jackson 5 murals, or is it a different mural project?
It's a different one, but it's on the same building. It's on the Sears building. I don't think they've put it up yet, but we like painted on these, I think they were like 7 foot tall boards. It was a lot, but it was really fun being able to collaborate with the art class. I think there were like 7 or 8 of us painting all those murals. I know, it was super fun.
So with your group shows, are those by invitation, or did you submit to be in the the group shows?
I think I usually submit to it. But I've enjoyed all the galleries that I've been able to be a part of for the group shows. I know the most recent one that I had a group show with was Woman Made Gallery, and mm-hmm. I believe IUN collaborated with them too. And my boss kind of like recommended it to me, so I signed up for it, and I was happy. I really enjoyed the gallery space, the people there.
So in working as the assistant in sculpture, is it during the class time or is it personal work or what is entailed in that?
It's mostly personal work, but also some of it involves like sometimes I'll be around cleaning up the classroom, trying to think of other stuff. Sometimes they'll have me like make sure that I keep an eye on the sculpture students when they're using the power tools and stuff for like cutting wood. Trying to think of what else. But his personal work lately, I've been able to help with like he has this huge project that's going up. I think trying to think of what the exact day is. I know the reception is the 29th, like May 29th. He has this huge, I think it's 8 foot tall piece and these other sculptural pieces that we've been printing out on the CNC machine, like different bits and figuring out how to like put them together. And it's just stuff like that. It's been interesting. I've learned a lot of skill sets. I never thought I'd learn how to use a CNC machine until now. So
yeah, they're interesting.
Yeah.
So do you have any kind of art that you haven't tried that you'd like to try?
That's a good question. Well, definitely oil paint, but I really want to try out stop motion. I love stop motion so much. I just never got around to trying it, but that's one thing I really want to try out. Maybe more installations too, I think. I really want to dabble more in installations.
Yeah, that's my area. That's what I like, installations.
Do you have any things coming up in June in the summer, exhibits? And are you connecting to some of the art organizations in the area?
Not yet. I've been really preoccupied with this project, but I would like to, maybe in July or August, I might try signing up for some group shows if I could get enough art done this summer. Nothing yet, but I look forward to coming up with something. I've just been too busy with the projects.
So
that's understandable.
Yeah, that's a busy time there, especially if you're also doing some theater stuff on the side with Aaron and Tim and everything. So that's interesting variety of how they have things there in the new facility. And well, it's not as new. It's probably approaching 7 years old, 8 years old now at this point. So tell us anything you'd like to do other than art.
Maybe I want to try out baking or something. I'd like to try out some baking, you know, as long as I don't burn the kitchen down, I'd be happy to try it out and maybe find another form of art in that.
Well, you have the skill set for it because a lot of those sculptural pieces laid down on the counter are they could be baked goods.
That's true. I need to get back into using piping bags again so I could be better at that. But
well, that sounds fun and delicious.
Hopefully.
Career-wise, what do you see beyond what you're doing right now?
I think career-wise, I could see myself like maybe getting into curation or like helping install in galleries, or I would really enjoy being able to help behind the scenes with like theater shows, like being a scenic painter. That would be really fun. And I think later on I might become an art professor so I could like help people the way my professor has helped me.
Very good.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air and sharing your art journey at Summer Bozeman. She's a painter, sculptor, currently working at IU Northwest after she's completed a degree in 2024 BFA. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your whole art journey.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Art on the Air Spotlight and the complete one-hour program on Sunday is brought to you by Ember Forge Consulting. To learn more, visit emberforgeconsulting.com. We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Art on the Air is also heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org. If you have a smart speaker like Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or Apple Siri, just tell it to play Art on the Air to hear the latest episode. Our spotlight interviews are heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Media. Thanks to Dee Dotson, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Media, and to Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. We'd like to thank our current underwriters for Lakeshore Public Media, Ember Forge Consulting, Thoughtful Marketing and Digital Learning, built to express your purpose and grow your reach. Learn more at emberforgeconsulting.com/grow. And for WVLP, Walt Reitinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art in the Air, we rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. You'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or send us information about your arts, arts-related event or exhibit, please email us at AOTA@breck.com. That's AOTA@breck.com. BRECH.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know. Esther and Larry, Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air, our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.